Thank you for listening to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Missionary Baptist Church. It is our prayer that this message will be a blessing to your heart as we all strive together to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do.
Psalm 14, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear. For God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Father, we come again to you with our hearts wide open this morning, needing you to work in our hearts, confessing once again, Lord, that there's absolutely nothing that we can do, and how we need you this morning, Holy Father. And so, Father, I pray that you will again speak to our hearts, open your word to our understanding, move in our lives and make changes that need to be made. Help us, Father, to be yielded to those changes. Help us, Father, as we come here at the end of a long work week. Many of your people are tired this morning and weary. And for them I pray, Lord, that you'd give them special strength and lighten their eyelids. Help us to be attentive to the preaching of your word. Help me, as your servant, Father, to preach your word. I need your power. My own power will not do. My own ability is insufficient. I'm inept without you. And so, Holy Father, move in our midst with your blessed Spirit. Bind the demons of hell. Be with the listening audience on the radio program. Convict hearts of our need for you. And above all, Holy Father, in answer to prayer, may the Lord Jesus be magnified in our presence, in whose name we pray. Amen. You know, I'm sure, that the Bible teaches that the ways of God are far above the ways of man, his thoughts above our thoughts. And therefore, it is important for us to learn, when we can, to see things from God's point of view. Of course, the best way to begin seeing things from God's perspective is to find the biblical perspective of those things. Amen. Because God reveals what he wants us to know in his holy word. The Bible is the window into the heart and the mind and the thoughts of our God. Now, we may not understand it all. I confess to you that though I've been preaching for more than 25 years, I don't understand all of the Bible. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I keep studying. I keep reading. I keep searching the scriptures. Sometimes I go to the commentaries, Brother Jack, and find out the writer of the commentary doesn't know either. That's where the commentaries are silent, it seems. We might not understand all of what the scriptures tell us, but we can certainly begin to view things from God's standpoint as we view things from the vantage point of his holy word. Now, I've entitled this sermon, and actually it's going to turn into at least two sermons. I know that already. The title is Seeing Things from God's Viewpoint. And here in this psalm, there are four things about which God very plainly declares his point of view. We are going to see in the weeks to come, and most of these lessons will come on Wednesday night, I remind you. But today we'll see God's view of atheism, and then we will see his view of mankind, Thirdly, his view of his people, and then God's view of the future. Now, I'm not sure if it'll take four separate weeks for those four separate things. I don't know or not. But this morning, we are going to focus our attention on verse 1 of Psalm 14 and see God's viewpoint of atheism. Verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." What's God's point of view of atheism? God says the atheist is a fool. I like the story I heard, and I'm not sure if it's a true story or just a joke, but it'd be even funnier if it was true, where the ACLU was petitioning the courts in objection to all these religious holidays, such as Christmas and so forth. And the argument was, "Your Honor, all these religious people have their own holidays, and we believe the atheist ought to have their own holiday as well." And the judge dismissed the case immediately and says, "According to my calendar, you have a day in, Your Honor. It's April 1st, amen." The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool is typified by a man in 1 Samuel 25, about whom I'm sure you've read, if you've read your scriptures at all. His name is Nabal. Nabal, by the way, is the same word in Hebrew for fool. David had been a blessing to the servants of Nabal. He had protected them from raiders. And when David sent his servants to Nabal in his time of need, asking for provisions, Nabal said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse?" He rejected David's request out of hand. And that's a vivid picture, my beloved, of the Lord sending his blessings upon mankind and sending his servants to man with an appeal to serve the Lord. But man says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" That's what Pharaoh said to Moses. And it's what so many people are saying to the ministers of God today. Nabal was a fool. In fact, David ordered every one of his soldiers to gird on his sword. He was going to execute his wrath against Nabal. And suddenly Abigail, Nabal's wife, came and fell before the face of David, intervening on Nabal's behalf with the words, "Let not, my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he." Nabal is his name, and folly, that's foolishness, is with him. He's a fool. He's a fool to not recognize the benevolence of David, and we would be fools not to recognize the benevolence of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty God and creator of the universe. It takes a fool. The fool has said in his heart, notice, there is no God. And I want to point out that the words "there is" are in italic print, which basically means that when the translators were translating it into English, they put those words there for grammatical purposes, but there are no Hebrew words, actually, for those words. Whenever you see italics, you'll know that to be the case. And so some would read this passage, "The fool hath said in his heart, no God, no God." May I say to you this morning that when we say no to God, we're acting like an atheist and we're acting like a fool. It is foolish. It is foolish to say no to God. It is foolish, my friend, for you, if you don't know Christ, for God to say, "Come unto me," and for you to say no to Him. That's foolish. Now I want to point out that this fool says this in his heart. It may not necessarily be something that he says with his lips. But so often what we don't say with our lips, we do say with our lives. When God speaks to a man's heart and the man ignores what God's speaking, he's playing the part of a fool, my friend. When God deals with your heart, when God deals with my heart through the preaching of His holy word, and He convicts our hearts and we ignore it and we just sit there saying, "Well, I did my spiritual duty. I came to the church house. What more do you want, preacher?" I'll tell you, brother, I'd rather you stay home and get your heart right with God than come to the church house and get your heart right with duty. It's a foolish thing to hear the preaching of God's holy word and to sit under the Holy Spirit's conviction and not to budge when God moves. Amen. It's foolish. When we sin, we play the part of the fool because we're acting as if God is not right there seeing it. The eyes of the Lord, the Bible says, are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees us everywhere we go. He sees everything we do. And may I remind you this morning, He sees what man cannot see. He sees your heart and He sees your thoughts. And we will give an account for every idle thought to God one day. Understand this morning that when we act as though God is not in the room, we are playing the part of a fool. He's with us. So God's first point of view regarding the atheist is that he's a fool. Secondly, we find that the atheist is corrupt. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the Bible says they are corrupt. Webster defines corrupt in this way, quote, to change from a sound to a putrid state. Well, that's what happened to mankind in the fall. When Adam sinned, before he sinned, he was sound. He was perfect. But when he sinned, he became corrupt. He was putrefied. This word comes from the Hebrew shakath. It appears 146 times in your Bible. It's translated variously in the following ways. Perished, marred, wasted, spoiled, battered, cast off. And nearly 100 of those 146 times the word is translated destroyed. Such is the person who does not believe in God. Such is the person who says no to God. Such is the person who acts as though God is not there. Listen to me, when you're fooling around on the internet, God sees what you're doing. Amen.
Amen.
And you're a fool. You're a fool. You're a fool to be unfaithful to your wife in that way, first of all. You're a fool to ignore God's presence, secondly. Listen to me this morning. That is the road to destruction. That's what the word corruption means.
Amen.
And the devil wants to destroy your life this morning with foolishness. It's foolish not to read your Bible each day, my friend. It's foolish. It's foolish to read it and then ignore it. It's foolish to listen to your own heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Somebody says to me, preacher, I know my own heart. No, you don't. You can't even know your own heart. You can't trust your own heart, Dave. I can't trust my heart. I can only trust the Lord. To trust my heart is to be a fool. It's foolish, girls. I'm glad I stopped at you. It's foolish to look at that young man flexing his biceps, demonstrating his great physique, such as the one that you see before you this morning. You know, when I was in the Navy, I had an hourglass figure, but the sands have shifted over the years. The only thing I have left from the Navy is my sunken chest. It's foolish, Allie. You thought you were off the hook. It's foolish to look at that boy who can slam dunk that basketball after doing a 360 and twirling upside down and slam dunking it with his feet. It's foolish to say, oh, and get all gaga about that. Friends, I'm telling you this morning, when we live in such a way that ignores the presence of God Almighty, we are playing the part of the fool and we are putting ourselves on the road to destruction. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth where? To destruction. And many there are that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto the life, and few there be that find it. Beloved, let's not be corrupt. Let's not play the part of the fool in our lives. Let's not get on the road to destruction. I often say, chances are, if it's popular, it's wicked. Now, I'm not going to make a hasty generalization, but usually, if everybody's saying, hey, this is a great thing, it's probably wicked. You might want to take a second look, because broad is that way. The third thing that I see, that God sees about the atheist, not only is he a fool, not only is he corrupt, but thirdly, the Bible says in this verse that he's abominable. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. He's abominable. I went to Webster again to learn the meaning of the word abominable. Because the only thing I understood about that word was when I grew up as a kid learning about the abominable snowman. I didn't know there were snowmen in the Bible till I read that verse. My grandma set me straight. Webster tells me that abominable means very hateful, detestable, loathsome. He says this word is applicable to whatever is odious to the mind or offensive to the senses. Get that? In other words, the atheist has to offend his own senses to deny the existence of God. Think about it now. How many senses do we have? 5 senses. You know, you have to be without feeling to be an atheist. The reason that I can knock on this pulpit is because somebody made this pulpit. And somebody made this pulpit out of wood, which came from trees. Which tells me that had it come from somewhere. Amen. To deny the existence of God is to offend your very sense of touch. You got to be without feeling to be an atheist. Think about this. If that's true, it's also true that you got to be pretty tasteless to be an atheist. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, Dylan, I always loved science fiction movies. You know, Live Long and Prosper and all that. I was watching one show where the people ate these pills. They just swallowed them down. They had no flavor. But the pills had all the nutrients that they needed. What a miserable way to live life. You see, you've got to be a tasteless fool to be an atheist. Can you imagine a life in which there's no seasoned potatoes at Taco John's? You dip them in that cheese sauce. Can you imagine a life where there's no such thing as Yankee pot roast? Listen, the fact that we have the ability to enjoy such a variety of flavors indicates that it was created that way by design. You got to be a tasteless fool without feeling to be an atheist. You have to be blind. Blind to be an atheist. The Bible tells me the heavens declare the glory of God. Only a fool would deny in his heart that which his eyes are seeing revealed to him. You got to be a blind, tasteless fool without feeling. It seems to me then that atheists don't smell too good either. You know, your sense of smell can evoke great emotional responses. Boy, certain aromas remind me immediately of my honey. Certain aromas remind me of my mom. Certain remind me of my dad. All I have to do is smell the smell of sawdust to think of my grandpa Craig. It evokes great memory and emotion. You got to be a blind, tasteless fool without feeling that don't smell good to be an atheist. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm liking the way this is going. There's another sense, the sense of hearing. You know, it doesn't sound too good to be an atheist. The sense of hearing allows us to appreciate the melody, the harmony. I love the fact that I was able to figure out that she was playing The Eye on the Sparrow. It's a little bit of a different arrangement than I've ever heard it before. I love hearing laughter. What a wonderful sound. I got a letter in the mail, anonymous. I wish the person would have signed it and told me who they were. But expressing appreciation for our radio broadcast, I gather the person who wrote the letter does not attend the services, but listens from their home. And that person mentioned how much they enjoy hearing the people laugh and say amen once in a while. Person said, I enjoy the fact that you refer to your people as beloved. I love the word beloved. You see, it's one thing to be loved, but it's another to be beloved. See, because beloved means it's mutual. I have befriended Dave Seegers, and I have beloved him. You understand? I've made him the object of my friendship and my love. And I just get off track just to say, love is not a feeling, getting back to you over here. Love is a decision.
That's right.
I see Daytona sinking down back here and snickering a little bit, so I'll come preach to you for a little bit. Love's not a feeling, it's a decision. It's a decision, it's a commitment. It's a commitment. I chose to love Gordon Specht. That's my choice. Sometimes people feel a little uncomfortable when I say to them, I love you. How can you love me, preacher? You just met me today. Because I decided to love you, Gary.
Amen.
That's why. I decided to love you. I decided to love the people of this church. And I do. I love you, John. I love you. I love you. I can't remember your name, but I love you. Grimm is his last name. His last name is Grimm. What's your first name? Oh, Mark, that's right. You know, I love you. I think you know that. You see? Now, I only met him this past week. Well, how can you love someone you only met? By deciding to! Now, I'm getting off the track here, so let me get back to the notes. I'm simply saying that you have to deny your senses to deny the existence of God. It's foolish. It is literally senseless to deny the existence of God, and it is senseless to live in such a way as if God is not interested in your daily life. That's senseless. That doesn't make sense. Did you know that Helen Keller was a believer? She was a believer. She couldn't hear. She couldn't see. But she believed. If you're an atheist, you're a fool that denies your senses. I close this morning to say that absolutely no good comes from atheism. Absolutely no good. There is none that doeth good, says the last clause of the first verse. You know, it's foolish to say that man is inherently good. You've heard it, I'm sure. They're teaching it at our humanistic schools that, well, basically man is good. No, basically man is evil. Why do you have to teach your children to tell the truth if man is basically good? See, kids don't learn to lie. They have to learn to tell the truth. Are you hearing me this morning? Why is that? Because kids are not inherently good. The Bible says in Psalm 58 and verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. You don't have to teach a kid to lie. You have to teach them to tell the truth. And I'll tell you the truth this morning. When your little baby screaming bloody blue murder, declaring to you a message that he's dying, may I say he's lying? That's why when you pick him up, he quiets down immediately. Now let me just say, I'm not against you running to your child to see what's wrong. But when you find out nothing is wrong, don't coddle that. Don't reinforce lying. It's foolish to think that man is inherently good. And it is foolish to think that your own goodness exempts you from your need of God. Why? Because we don't have any goodness. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And if you have the mistaken impression that your good works will get you to heaven, you need to repent. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. To reject Christ is to say no to God. To say no to God is to be a fool. Now I'll tell you, there will be a lot of fools in hell, but there won't be any atheists in hell. You see, because the moment you wake up in hell, you'll be a believer.
Amen.
But it'll be too late.
We'd like to invite you to join us at the Missionary Baptist Church for Sunday school at 10 a.m., for morning worship at 11 a.m., or for the evening worship at 7 p.m. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday at 7 p.m. We're located at 507 South 14th Street in Lamar, Colorado. If you need prayer or any additional information, please call our church office at 719-336-4174.
All creatures of our God and King, alleluia. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The God of glory thundereth.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. Of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The Lord will give strength unto his people.
The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. Of the Lord is powerful.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord,
will bless his people.
Give unto
the Lord, will bless his people.
Give unto
the Lord, will bless his people.
Take it.